genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming on the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is lasting influence. Each of my guests will be explaining the lasting impression their topic has on the world. My first guest realizes most products are similar. It's the people and business processes that differentiate one retailer from another. He'll describe the science of creating lifetime customers contained in his book, Reinventing the Wheel. My second guest is a Yale psychologist who understands the sources of influence. He'll teach us how to achieve instant influence in six simple steps from his book titled Instant Influence. My third guest takes the dry subject matter contained in the periodic table of elements and makes it fun. He's the rare hybrid who bridges the best of science and the arts in his book, Periodic Tables. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Chris Zane, is the owner and CEO of Zane's Bicycles in Connecticut. Chris's philosophy is that the business where bicycles and accessories are pretty much the same, it's about the people and policies of a company that make the difference. Chris knows that in his customer satisfaction that keeps him in business. Chris's cutting-edge marketing techniques have been used in case studies in over a dozen college textbooks worldwide. He's considered a pioneer in the bicycle industry and has set up precedents on how bicycle shops should run their own business. His innovative ideas have been subject of numerous articles in publications like the Harvard Business Review, Fortune Magazine, Inc. Magazine, Nation's Business, Venture Link, Bottom Line, and the list goes on and on. Chris is a frequent guest on the WCBS show, The Small Business Report with Joe Connolly. Joining us from Connecticut, Chris Zane. How are you today, Chris?
Good, Billy. How are you?
Well, terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest here on the show. And while your name may not be a household name to many people, a lot of what you teach in Reinventing the Wheel, the science of creating lifetime customers, is truly revolutionary, and it's being adopted in retail stores around the country. So kudos to you for that. But let's set the stage for my listeners who may not know your name or don't believe that incredible customer service can really be possible. Zane's Cycles has revenues in excess of $15 million. And an annual growth rate of 24%. I mean, that's just phenomenal, particularly in this environment. You owe this phenomenal success to valuing the customers for life and over-exceeding customers' expectations and a basic trust in human nature. In this uber-competitive world, Chris, where discretionary income is dwindling, how do you continue to improve on your success?
Well, the success that we've had has come, you know, for a long time. We've been in business for 30 years. We've had consistent growth of that 24% for 30 years. So we're pretty comfortable with, you know, continuing to grow our business by building relationships with customers specifically on what they're looking for rather than what we're selling. So, you know, when you think about a bicycle, you know, everybody's like, well, I know what a bike is, but we're not really selling the bike. We're not selling the tires and the rubber and the cables and the steel. We're selling the experience that the customer has with the bike when they're out on it, helping them with, you know, weight loss or recreation or family time or physical fitness, whatever it might be. You know, we're trying to be the the provider of that service, not the specific product that we sell.
So you're really selling service. You're selling the experience. It's part of the experience economy. That's what you're tapping into. And I think that that is phenomenal. Let's take a step back, Chris, if we can, and go through your history, because it's pretty remarkable. As I was going through the book, I had no idea. I mean, you were talented at fixing bikes at a very young age. At the tender age of 12, your father suggested that you get a business license. Now, I don't know how many 12-year-olds that have a business license. By age 16, which was only 4 years later, you actually took out a business loan from your grandfather to buy a bike retail shop that has now become Zane's Cycles. So talk to my listeners about the entrepreneurial spirit. How and why did you know that you wanted to be a business person, Chris?
Well, I was intrigued by the product. So, you know, there's two kinds of cyclists. There's the guys who ride, and then there's the guys that fix them. And so fortunately, you know, I'm not necessarily the enthusiast participant in the sport. I like to keep them working correctly. And early on, when I was a little kid, I fixed bikes in the neighborhood and was able to buy parts from the local shop. And then my dad, suggested I get a tax ID number so I could buy the parts wholesale. And so I did that for a few years, and then I went to work for the previous owner of the store that I bought when I was 16. And basically, it was 1981. The economy was terrible. Interest rates were 22% or 21%. And he just decided, you know, he couldn't make ends meet. So I went home, and I asked my parents if I could borrow some money from my grandfather to buy the inventory, take over the lease, and continue the business. Because it was a viable business, but it just wasn't, you know, earning enough for that particular individual to pay, you know, a salary to himself and to me. So, you know, they knew that I was committed to this process of fixing bikes. They knew I had the entrepreneurial spirit. And, you know, basically I made a deal with the devil. And, you know, not that my grandfather was the devil, but it was an unconditional loan that no matter what happened, I wasn't going to not be able to pay it back. So, you know, if it took 50 years, I was on the hook for the $23,000 that he lent me to buy up the inventory and take over the store.
Well, $23,000 back in 1981 dollars was actually a big, tidy sum of money, so I can understand that. It's good that you were dedicated. It's also good that you were ethical enough to be able to pay that back. Chris, from where did you get your business training, or was it all on-the-job training?
Well, I started out as on-the-job training because I was only a junior in high school when I started the store, but, you know, then I was passionate about learning. I've read everything that's out there when it comes to retailing, when it comes to customer service, when it comes to running a business, you know, the financial part of being successful in a business. I've just consumed that information as much as I could get. I went to college at Quinnipiac, locally here in Connecticut, took all the business courses, did everything I needed to do. And the rest has really then been just developed from my ability to understand what the nuances are of running a business with definitely an entrepreneurial edge to, you know, or knowledge that I have just intrinsically.
We're talking to Chris Zane, author of the book Reinventing the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. And Chris, at what age did you start to develop this sense of customer service that you had? And what were your influences that influenced that sense of customer service?
Well, it's funny. When I started, my mom used to work with me in the store. You know, I was still in school, so she would come in and open, and then I'd come in when I got out of school, and she would leave. And, you know, she said early on, if you offer good service, you'll stay in business, and if you don't, you won't. I mean, it was pretty quick and easy to understand. But over time, I was able to figure that out through some mistakes that I had made. I had expanded the business and then had to regroup and pull in my wings a little bit and go through the pain of readdressing some mistakes that I had made. And during that process, I realized that I wasn't in the business of selling stuff. I think everybody looks at their business when they start out, whether you're selling business to business or you're selling business to consumer. Everybody thinks, well, I'm selling this stuff. I got to get this stuff flowing out of my door. And when I had this bump in the road with the second location and losing lots of money, I figured out that the interactions with the customers and supplying the customers what they needed rather than trying to sell them what I had was an easy thing to transition to, and subsequently has given us this crazy success that we've had.
Well, let's talk about your success, and let's talk about the earmarks of your customer service, which are pretty incredible. Chris, you offer a lifetime free service guarantee on any bike that you sell, a custom coffee bar in the store so people can sit around and talk about their various biking experiences, no charge for your parts that cost less than a dollar. So if you're doing a repair and a part costs 50 cents, you just throw it in for free. Full refunds, no questions asked. And you've got a great story there about somebody who brought a bike back after 6 years, and you honored the full refunds there. A free flat tire fixing service, a trade-in program for children who are moving up in bikes as they grow, and then totally hassle-free bike tryouts. Anybody can just walk in, borrow a bike, test it out, and so forth. Chris, in all of these phenomenal services that you offer, how did you communicate these service offerings that you have to your customers? Was it all word of mouth, or how did you get the word out there that people could come to Zane Cycles and really take advantage of all this service?
Well, it definitely started out as word of mouth. I mean, when we started offering these, you know, extended warranties for free and offering, you know, these extraordinary opportunities for customers, it really kind of grew, you know, through buzz in the market. The word was out that this is the place you wanted to go. We certainly have promoted, you know, world famous Zanes. We've promoted Guaranteed for Life. We've promoted all the things that we've done through our marketing pieces. But it's really the relationship with the customer that has driven our opportunity to grow from a little independent, you know, small bike shop to the size that we are now. And the thing that we always focus on, and the thing that's always focused on in every program and policy that we put in place, is to think about what the interaction is with the customer over a lifetime of fulfilling their needs, rather than an individual transaction. If you look at any one of those programs individually, you can find holes in them and to justify not doing it. But when you pile them all on and you say, I've got a customer for 20, 30, 40 years or whatever that's going to come in and continue to do business with us, these little service offerings that don't really cost a ton of money will create a relationship that will allow the customer to continue to come in time and time and time again.
All right, so it's built on the premise, Chris, saying that you've got this customer for lifetime, the lifetime value of a customer, which is great. What is the average lifetime value of a customer for you, well, and over how many years?
Well, what we find is that a customer in our store, any customer that comes in, if we're able to average them out from looking at the first bike that they would have purchased as a little kid to the next bike when they get into middle school to graduating college, midlife crisis bike, retirement bike, all the stuff that goes along with it, that customer will spend $12,500 on bicycle equipment in their lifetime and services and all the things that they would need. And that actually translates to $5,650 in profit based on our profit margin. So when my staff or when we, you know, we have an opportunity to communicate with the customers that are in the store, they're worth $5,650. They're not worth a transaction of a $5 tube or a, you know, $25 pump. They're literally looked at like this is a revenue stream that will drive $5,600 profit to the business. And we treat them like they're $5,600 customers, not a $6 customer.
Hmm. All right. We're talking to Chris Zane, who is author of the book Reinventing Wheel, the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. And Chris, you sort of alluded to this earlier, but I'm going to come back to it because it's a great learning lesson for business people, particularly in retail. It hasn't all been wine and roses for Zane Cycles. You've made your mistakes. Notably, you ventured into a general outdoor recreational store. Tell us what happened when you ventured outside of your comfort zone. How did you rebound, and what were the lessons that you learned from that experience?
Well, in 1985, we looked at our revenue and thought, hey, we're doing great. We can expand into multiple stores. So there was an opportunity in a local mall that had some space. And so I rented it and opened up a business called Zane's Outdoor, and we sold tents and sleeping bags, as well as some bicycle equipment and whatnot to the population that would have normally shopped in a mall. And what we've come to find out was there was very little traffic in this mall, and that's why there was open space. And at the end of 10 weeks, we had lost $100,000.
Ouch.
And at that time, we were doing about $125,000 a year in revenue. So this was a huge mistake and a huge liability that we created. And so after, you know, sending inventory back that I could and just kind of figuring out how to liquidate the stuff that we had, I finally decided it was time to just close because we had no traction in the market and the business was really not doing well at all. So in 1987, in the spring of 1987, about 2 years after we had pulled out of the mall, I had this big sale just to blow everything out. And at the end of the weekend, we had taken in enough revenue to pay all of our vendors, as well as I had an extra $20,000 in the checking account that I could use to either take and leave or reinvest. And I decided we would reinvest. And at that point, like I said, that's when we really decided that focusing on the customer was going to be our point of difference rather than just filling up a building full of stuff and saying this is what we need to sell.
All right. Now, on the more positive side, Chris, you expanded Zane Cycles when you really moved into supplying bicycles for corporate rewards programs. Tell us, how did you make that transformation? And more importantly, for small business owners who are listening to the sound of our voice, how did you recognize the opportunity when it arose? What has this meant to your business?
Well, you know, if you can get a bike for free through an incentive program, through points-based programs, say an American Express card or a Marriott card, it'll come from us. And that growth came from an opportunity that I had with a local company in our market that wanted to do a sales incentive contest. And we supplied the bikes to all the salesmen throughout the country who reached their sales goals. And we figured out that it was, you know, a lot nicer selling one person 100 bikes than it was selling 100 people 100 bikes.
You betcha.
And so I kind of looked into this. Again, I love information. I'm a voracious reader. I figured out that there was this whole industry called the premium incentive industry that supplied this stuff to these companies that ran incentive programs, and went to all the trade shows, continued to meet people, and then finally got my inroads when I worked with a consultant that happened to be local here who was involved in bringing lots of companies into the business. And now we have a much larger part of our business is this business-to-business relationship, because I'm interacting with all these companies that run these incentive programs, and they're really not the end user. So I have a very different service relationship with them than I would with, say, a typical retail customer who comes in. And we have a whole another set of rules and how we go to market to satisfy these guys in a business-to-business relationship that, again, has given us this continued growth that's allowed us to get to, you know, the 15 or we'll probably be 20 million by the end of 2011.
Wow, congratulations. We're talking to Chris Zane, author of the book Reinventing the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. Chris, if you were advising a startup retail store today, what advice would you share with that person starting the store?
Well, the first thing I would do is tell them to figure out what the lifetime value of that customer is going to be, because it makes it a lot easier to be generous, to offer good service if you've got this great understanding of what the real number is. People say all the time, we're all about lifetime customers, you know, share a wallet. There's all kinds of buzzwords to talk about the relationships that they think they have with their customers. But until you put a hard number on it, like ours is 12.5, and you know, the grocery stores are 250,000, and there's lots of industry information on what the lifetime value is, it's a lot harder to be this real customer service driver unless you've got this big opportunity that you can recognize as the benefit.
Ah, that is great. We've been talking to Chris Zane, author of the book Reinventing the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. Chris, if people like what they have to say, they want to learn more about you, your incredible success story, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They can either go to zanes.com, which is the retail business, or they can go to reinventingthewheelbook.com, which is a website that's got information on the book and the ability to get it from lots of different suppliers.
Oh, that's great. Including Bank of Books right here in Ventura, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Chris, it has been a delight. Thank you for sharing your expertise with my listeners. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Billy.
Thank you.